Hey guys, welcome to Playtime Season 4.
Yes, here we go, guys.
We are back.
We are back, and it feels so good. And it feels good because we're in a new studio. We've taken some time apart. You know, you've
taken time apart.
We have, technically. You've been away for a month.
Sounds like a relationship.
Yeah, to be fair, at this stage, it is a relationship. It's a relationship and a business relationship. But yeah, we're back, guys. We've had, you know, so many of you have been like messaging us, being like, when's, you know, the new series coming out? We've taken some time off mainly because, well, we've been so busy with our company, our Playtime Productions, with our new clients, and that's taken a lot of time. And we've also wanted to drive the focus and make sure that, you know, the process is smooth and we're up and running. But it's Christmas, and the present to you guys is that we're back.
Yeah, so we've been focusing on all our Playtime production clients, other people's podcasts,
and
now the focus is back with us.
Feels weird. It feels good.
It does. It feels weird to be doing it again, actually. We've had about 2 months off. I went away. Miles has been busy doing stuff with Dancing on Ice.
Yeah.
There's a lot to catch up on.
Laurie's at the back right now. Also, we've got Laurie. I'm assuming the camera's on you right now, but Laurie obviously takes care of the station. He's up here. He's kind of involved now.
Yeah, so
he's part of Playtime.
We thought we'd add another dimension to our podcast.
Yeah.
Get Laurie to sort of chip in as and when he feels necessary. Because quite a lot in the podcast, he'll have something to say and then he doesn't have a little microphone. So welcome, Laurie.
I like how you say a little microphone. It's the same microphone as us.
He has got a little microphone right there.
Yeah, I was going to say, what you guys don't normally see is that I actually carry this podcast. It's just you can't see or hear me. So it's different.
Basically, if we have any blanks, Laurie's going to chip in and be like, okay, guys, don't worry, I'll get the topics in.
Yeah, it's just like a bit more of a like behind the scenes. You can get to see how the whole process works as well.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
100%. So, yeah, welcome Laurie, the new edition.
Yeah. Well, the old edition, but new to Playtime.
Yeah, exactly. So just like a little...
little je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, exactly.
But, boys, I'm going to start this fresh podcast.
Yeah.
I'm gonna start this podcast with a little gift, okay? Yeah. So I've got some presents, okay? It's not Christmas yet, but it's technically Christmas.
Mate, you should have told me. I would have got people presents.
No. It's just a little... I need to check who's who, though.
Right.
Can I just say, Charlie, we're awful people. It's Miles's birthday in 2 days and he's the one giving out the presents.
Well, we'll get him some presents, obviously. We have got him presents.
Okay, so... Oh, this is for you.
Oh, I...
and this is for you. Do you want to come over and get it?
Oh, mate. I know what this is.
You do?
Basically, Miles has these Warren James jewelry set.
Yeah.
I was like, this is really nice. Which one is it? And then he's now...
Yeah.
Now got
you annoying enough, I was trying to get it for you before you went away to LA, but it didn't arrive in time.
Yeah.
And then it got here when you were away. So then I was like, okay, cool. But then I was like, you know what? I'm going to wait for the podcast.
You know what I like about this jewelry? It's quite... it's very shiny.
Yeah.
Looks really like nice quality, but it's not too blingy.
Yeah, that's why I love it. It's got also for
it's
any
quite minimalistic.
Yeah, but that's what the thing. A lot of like, I always get DMs like, oh, I'm not really sure how to like put on jewelry, like because I normally put quite a lot on. Recently, I've actually put less on because you know I think you don't need to have so much on you, and I think this brand Warren James is so good for like to start out in jewelry if you want to start accessorizing as a man, and right there. You struggling?
Yeah, I struggle unless I have a mirror with these things. And I've got quite fat fingers. So,
Laurie, let's see yours. Gold and gold. Look at that, baby.
Oh, there you go.
Yes. It looks sick.
Thanks, brother.
No worries, bro. Yeah,
it's
nice.
That's a very nice little present, mate.
Of course, man. No worries.
Thank you so much.
I thought I'd start, you know, the podcast with gifting with each other, you know.
It's lovely. Well, I mean, we'll have to return the favour.
Good.
I mean, it is your birthday soon, so.
Yeah, I'm Tuesday, in a couple of days, turn 28.
28. Big moves, mate.
Big moves, you know.
Yeah. How are you feeling for it? Are you one of those people that, you know, it comes around to their birthday, it's like, oh my God, I'm 28. Like,
no, not at all.
Because I feel like it's something that girls always stress out about a bit more than guys do.
You know what, so it's so funny, because my sister, she when she turned 30, she was like, oh, okay, I'm turning 30. Like, should I be in a relationship? Should I have like my career on point? What are the key factors? And I actually don't really know why women stress so much more than men. Like, but I guess there's certain things, obviously, like in terms of fertility, you know, even with kids, I think it's 35. That's where it's a lot harder for women. So I think there is a biological clock, I guess, in that sense. But then also, when my sister turned 30, she was like, oh, what is the fuss? Like, my life is great. I've got an amazing career. Like, I don't need to give myself that pressure. But for myself, I haven't got that pressure at all. I'm 28. I'm still
Mate, 28 is still young.
Still young.
Yeah.
I actually, you know what? I've always wanted to be older, which is a weird thing. Since I was a kid, I've always wanted to get older.
Always wanted to grow old.
I always wanted to grow old. No, because I always thought that, you know what? My peak year will be 35.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What? Why have you got that in mind?
I don't know why. So it's because my dad met my mum when he was 35.
Right.
And I think his life became more like... Not that he made it and it was, oh, at 35, like, that's it. But it was...
Well, he technically did make it because he met your mum.
Hey, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right, Dad.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I feel like, I don't know, since when he told me that when I was younger, I've always had this age in my head, like, 35 will be my year.
Mm.
So I don't know. Who knows? I'm excited to... Hopefully, we're still doing this podcast. And yeah, like my 35th, I'll be like, this is what happened.
Yeah, well, I mean, 35, I don't know. I feel like I might be over the hill by then. I feel like I'm already reaching my peak. I'm gonna start to go like,
ooh. What? So you're turning 30 soon.
Yes. Well, soonish. I turned 30 in February.
So, how are you feeling about that?
Yeah, I'm all right. To be honest, mate, I'm actually feeling a little bit like I need to get my shit together with my life.
But you said this earlier before we started recording. I don't know what you mean. I feel like your life is pretty, you know, together.
Yeah, ish. But I mean, like, I don't know. I'm never really content with where I'm at, and I just I feel like I'm nowhere near where I thought I'd be when I'm 30.
It's mad, isn't it, that we all have these ideas by like that 30 milestone. It's like, oh, I need to have this and this.
But like, I think I remember when I used to be at school, I used to see like people that are a bit older than me in their 20s and be like, wow, he's right, really mature. Like, he's got loads of shit going on. And then I'm like nearly turning 30 and I'm like nowhere near what I thought I'd be at. Do you know what I mean?
But do you not think the reason why you have this is because of the generation that we live in now? Like, I think watching over TikTok, Instagram, social media, that you have these like young 21-year-olds who are just like millionaires, and you're just like, ah,
yeah,
it's not me.
Yeah, I guess so.
That doesn't help.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I think it's also just like expectations of like never really being where you want to be. I guess it's like personality types as well, really, isn't it? But
so when you say when you're not really where you want to be, is that terms of career, in terms of love life, in terms of what? Or is it like a kind of a mix of everything?
Definitely career driven.
Yeah.
Yeah. Career driven stuff. Yeah.
And what is it because, so I'm like interviewed now.
No, please.
Is it because you had a career change recently?
Ish. But it's also, I don't know. I'm just not where I want to be. It's hard to break it down.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just makes you more motivated to like push on, I guess.
Yeah, because you're very disciplined in your life anyway. So I think you shouldn't be so like harsh on yourself because you're doing amazingly.
Thanks, brother.
And also, we've recently built a company that's only growing. And
of course,
like,
no. Obviously, I'm not like
I'm trying to make you feel bad. I've got loads of things, bro.
No, it's not like I'm not. You know, I'm in a good place, but I guess I always just want more. So,
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think, but that's also dangerous because it's like, you know, I feel like we're the same. I think that's why us three boys work really well together, is because we're so motivated to find that success. And what is, I mean, you know, success is different to everyone, but it is hard because I think there's a quote that goes, you know, the top of one mountain is the bottom of the next mountain. But when do you ever reach the peak and be like satisfied?
Yeah.
Because something that I've realized and I'm trying to do more is to enjoy the process.
Mm.
Enjoy, like, sometimes, like, I mean, Laurie, remember when we were like putting panels up and all that? And like, even just getting excited, looking at the studio, like I remember that feeling going, oh, that was...
Are you talking about the original panels?
No, not the original. The original panels.
Oh my God.
Mate,
so basically, just to to fill you guys in, when we first got the studio, I was away in the US and the boys went to the shop and bought some wood.
By the way, Charlie, I'm sorry. I was away in the US doing absolutely nothing and they fucked the whole studio up. Is that what we're about to say?
Yes, exactly what I'm about to say. So they basically tried to recreate this.
Yeah.
And I think we need to get a photo up of this.
It was bad.
Essentially, they bought like pounds of wood. Admirable effort. Like, you put also, in long hours.
What did we do? We didn't even paint it. We spray painted them.
Look, guys, I appreciate the effort, but if it's not something that's really good, then obviously it's like,
well, the thing is, we didn't have the comparison to this, right? At the time,
well, so if you had this, do you reckon you could make something of a similar standard?
I think so, Laurie.
100%, even better.
I think Laurie and I, we put some blood and sweat and tears in this.
No. I mean, like, well done for trying, but it's not good enough.
Okay, we get a medal for trying. Fair enough.
No. Well done, boys. But anyway, we've been upgraded with what's the company called again?
Wood Up.
So thank you for your kind service, Wood Up.
Yeah. No, they're amazing. And also, it's acoustic paneling. So if you guys want to, because it looks quite cool in your own house, like if you want to, like, one of the walls in your bedroom, acoustic paneling, you know, muffles it out. So yeah, it's nice. Wood Up.
Yeah. But yeah, let's have a bit of a catch up because I feel like there's been a bit of a gap of you know, a lot's gone on since we've been
so
away.
So much, man.
So what have you been up to, Miles?
Mate, you know what? It's been crazy. It's probably been the busiest time of my life in such a positive way, but it gets a little bit hectic because my schedule is kind of all over the place. But I've been doing Dancing on Ice, which is like so fun, and it's been 2 months of a lot of training. I've been paired up with the wonderful and beautiful Vanessa. You know, she's been in the finals every single year, and she's won.
Has she? I didn't know that.
Yeah, finals every year, and she's only won once.
Pressure's on, mate.
Well, I kind of said to her, I was like, look, you've only won once, and this year it's the second time. That's right. But you know what? I like, kudos to her. Like, she's amazing. Like, the amount of work that we put into, and she's really dedicated to her craft, and you know, I mean, you can see it. She's amazing. And we work hard, you know. Like, I, to everyone, also to all the other celebrities, like, I like applaud everyone. We're doing as a team. Obviously, we're competing against each other, but there is also that kind of like family kind of feeling. Like, it is a learning to ice skate is like learning to walk again.
So do you see the other ice skaters on the rink?
Every now and again, not all the time.
So you don't really get a sneak peek of where everyone's at?
I saw recently, yeah.
So who did you see?
I saw Ryan and Amani.
How are they looking?
They're looking great. Like, honestly.
What, did it like throw you a bit?
No.
No, really?
Not at all.
Oh, okay.
And I say that in like a really positive way. Like, it kind of made me go, okay, here we go. Okay, that's my competition.
Yeah.
Because I only kind of knew my ability until I got to see, because the only other skaters I saw was Amber and Claire, but it's really hard to compare yourself because as a male skater, you're doing very different things to the female because you're like holding them and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So when I saw Ryan, I was like, oh, okay, let me see like what you're doing and where you're at. And like, then I was like, okay, cool. I'm doing this. You're doing that. So he's doing amazing. They look amazing on the ice. I saw one of their routines. It looks really, really cool. And yeah, it kind of spurred me on. I was like, okay, cool. Very good stuff.
So how many hours a day are you training?
2 hours a day.
Monday to Friday?
Yeah, Monday to Friday, 2 hours a day.
You're only allowed that allotted time?
Yeah.
Because I guess otherwise the people with more time could train more or get better.
Exactly. Although there's been sparking rumors, which I find hilarious, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to name who it is on the cast, but in the changing rooms to my old coach, and they didn't know it was my old coach, they were like, oh yeah, we found out that Mars was secretly doing lifts with Vanessa before they even got announced and before we even got on the show.
What?
I know. That is false, by the way. And you know who you are if you're watching this. That's never happened. And what made me laugh is that they said it. They're like, oh yeah, we know because it comes from a reliable source. Yeah, sure it did. Sure it did.
That's true.
They're like, oh yeah, Mars. And you know what? I kind of saw that as like, you saw me and maybe you're like threatened by my skills. And you're like, oh, they've been practicing more. That's not happened. We had the same amount of time. And also, you know what? Like I think you should focus on themselves, do your thing, enjoy it. But yeah, I find it funny when you hear little rumors like that. even with a show like this, you're like, oh, it should be like a really like
part of the process though. I guess people get competitive, right? I mean, I know I'd get really competitive if I was doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd love to see you on the ice.
Yeah, probably wouldn't be for me.
No?
Nah. I don't know.
We'll get you on the ice.
Yeah, well, you're not allowed to skate with people until you're over, are you?
No, yeah. But after, we'll do some skating.
Yeah.
I'm going to continue. I love it.
Hey, what? You're just going to continue like dancing? Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah. Because
so you're just going to continue dancing with Vanessa, or are you going to find another dance partner?
Yeah, Vanessa.
Or are you just going to do it like...
I want to do a bit of solo.
Solo?
Yeah. I sound like a pro. No, honestly, I've fallen in love with the sport. Like, I genuinely love it. And it's like... Once you pick it up and you understand it and, you know, hey, I'm nowhere near being a pro, but like, it's so much fun and learning these moves.
I'm nowhere near being a pro. I can imagine. You've only been skating for a month.
Dude.
Calm down.
But yeah.
I'm not a pro yet, guys.
Not yet. I will though. No, but I've fallen in love with the sport. And so my first coach, Candy, who did the first, so you get 30 hours before you meet your pro partner. So we did 30 hours of Candy, and then now I've been with Vanessa for the last 2 months.
Yeah.
Candy and I, she said to me, we're gonna, you know, do some lessons, and I want to continue because I feel like it's one of those things I don't want to pick it up and then all of a sudden I just don't do it for a year. And then I'm like, oh, I could ice skate. Like it was so much fun. I want to continue it.
Nice.
You know, it's in the locker now.
It's a shame you can't skate down at, where is it? Battersea's power station.
I know.
Well, there's a few other ice rinks in London.
Well, I got invited. So Joe Malone invited me to their event and they wanted me to go on the ice, but Dance on Ice were like, nah, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Well, I get it. Like,
risk of injury.
Yeah, if I break my leg.
And it's kind of training, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, I like it. Yeah. Well, sneaky training, apparently.
Well, are you allowed to ice skate? Like, say if you... like went to an ice rink somewhere.
No, can't.
You wouldn't be allowed. No.
So I went to Winter Wonderland.
Why though?
I'm just not allowed. But
what's the reason?
Because I could break myself. I could break.
To do with injury.
Yeah. Right? All
not
to do
with
injury.
You becoming professional and just in the space of.
That's right. Yeah. In the space of 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But I think, anyway, look, the whole process has been super fun. We're having the best time. Everyone's amazing. All the celebs are great. We're like a little bit of a family. And I'm just excited to do the live shows. Like, that's going to be quite.
That'll be a nerve-wracking one, but it'll be good fun. You'll get a real buzz from it.
Oh my God. Like performing in front of, I think it's 500 people.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Live TV.
I mean, by the time, so how long do you get for each dance though, like to practice?
1 minute. So it's the routine is 1 minute 30.
No, I mean, how long, say after the first episode, how long is the break, a week between each
one? So I've got a week to learn a new routine.
Right. Okay. So, I guess by the time you get to the first one though, you'll have a good level of confidence.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Exciting times, mate.
Yeah. So yeah, that's been me. That's been my life for the last few months of just training. How about you, brother? What have you been up to?
So what have I been up to? I went away to the US for a little trip, which was very, very good fun. Started off in Phoenix, Arizona, for some work stuff, which is like the middle of the desert. Fucking hot, mate.
It looked amazing.
Yeah. It was beautiful. Stayed in a really nice place. And then I flew to San Francisco, top of California.
Yeah.
Then I went around to a place called Carmel, which is like a wine valley, Yosemite, this national park, which was honestly the most incredible place I've ever been in my life. Like the scenery is stunning.
Really?
I went on a few treks, like there's bears around the park. I didn't see bears.
Wild bears?
Yeah. So I went on this one trek in the morning, before sunrise. I was doing it all on my own because I did some lone travel basically. And
lone travel.
Honestly, also, I'd highly recommend doing some lone travel. It's the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Because it pushes yourself out of your comfort zone a bit.
To scary.
Meet new people. Yeah, I wouldn't say scary, but...
Well, for some people to travel on their own, it's like quite, you know...
Yeah, I mean, I would... Yeah, I guess so. I guess so, maybe more so if you're like a girl, you might feel a bit vulnerable when you go certain places. But it's a real amazing thing to do, I think, because it just like... encourages you to meet new people, do stuff you wouldn't do normally. So it was amazing in that sense. But yeah, Yosemite was incredible. Like I said, went on this trek in the morning before sunrise to get up to the highest point in the thing.
I saw the video.
Yeah, honestly, unbelievable. But I was basically there in the morning, pitch black, like, fuck, I'm gonna get eaten by a bear.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I mean, knowingly that there was like wild bears around and you're traveling in the middle of the night, I would have shit myself a little
bit. Apparently bears are scared of humans. And I, when I asked the guide or the guy, the ranger. The day before, I was like, really? Are you just telling me that?
Well, apparently, so what I've heard, and correct me if I'm wrong, if a bear runs at you, you have to run at it.
No, you don't run at it. You basically have to make yourself really big. You have to go, ah.
Oh.
You have to like be as loud and big as possible. And apparently they just shit themselves.
Yeah, because I've seen a video of like a guy like basically almost run at it and go, and then he goes, it's like, oh God, no.
Yeah, so apparently that's what you do. But obviously that's probably the last thing you're thinking you want to do.
I'm running.
100%.
I'm running. I'm climbing a tree.
But apparently they're rapid. You think you could outclimb a bear?
Probably not.
No. No way.
I mean, I think, knowing this now, I feel like if that did ever happen, I would have to, because in my head I'll be like, okay, my fate is I run away, it's faster than me, it will kill me, or try this thing where you try to be big and loud and hope for the best that he gets scared.
Yeah, well, I mean, luckily I did not run into any bears, so I was all good.
Yeah.
But it's a bit of a crazy
one. Because you were doing a lot of hiking, right?
Yeah.
It's quite an American thing, isn't it?
What, to hike?
Hike.
I guess so.
Like, we don't hike here, unless you live like, you
we
know.
Do.
It's not a very...
Well, if you live out like in one of the UK national parks, I'm sure you hike all the time, right?
Yeah, of course.
Right?
Yeah, true.
But I guess because we're in London, we don't do it as much.
Yeah. Hike to Hampden.
Yeah. But I think it is still a big thing in the UK. But when you're somewhere like that, it's really, it's big on that. Like, but a lot of the time when I went on hikes, I was like getting a bit competitive with myself and I was like trying to beat like the time.
What do you mean? Like, there was a time to hike?
So they'll have like a hike route.
Yeah.
That's on a map, and then it'll be like, oh, this should take about 5 to 7 hours.
And you saw that as, it'll take me 4.
Yeah, legit. So one of them, it was like 5 to 7 hours. It took me 3 hours. So I think they give you a time that's like super... to be fair, I was going really fast and I did like almost jog part of it.
I was going to say, some...
on the way back I was like, okay, I'm gonna PB this.
I like how you saw a hike where it's like scenic, oh lovely little walk, you know, maybe take a break, and you're like, yeah, I'm gonna run this bitch. It's like mad.
I still enjoyed it, but I just part of hiking, I just enjoy like the element of like pushing myself a bit, you know.
Also, I guess because it didn't look like you trained a lot out there, I'm assuming that was quite a big thing, the hiking.
I did here and there. I tell you what, the gyms in America are incredible.
Did you go to Gold's Gym?
I went to Gold's Gym on Venice Beach in LA. So after Yosemite, I basically drove to San Francisco, and I drove down this highway. It's called Highway 1. It's a really famous driving route. Got rented this sick car, a Ford Mustang.
Oh, nice. Oh, come on.
Yeah, it was so sick.
I never saw pictures of that.
I mean, I didn't like photo. I've got some photos of it.
Oh, sick.
I thought it would be a bit wankery to like take a photo in a car. Like,
you should, sitting on it.
it was unreal.
Oh, nice.
Like convertible, drove down Highway 1. Like incredible. I'll show you some of the photos after this.
God.
I stopped off at a few like towns on the way, a few like small little American surfer towns.
Yeah.
Some of them were larger. This place called Carmel, which is like incredible. It's got a really famous golf course called Pebble Beach.
Pebble Beach, yeah.
Yeah, I went there.
Wow, did you play?
No, I didn't play.
Wow. Pebble Beach is like really, really famous.
Yeah. It's like one of the most famous. I don't know if you ever used to play PGA Tour online.
Yeah.
On like PlayStation or whatever. Yeah, that used to be always one that I used to play on.
PlayStation 2, maybe.
Yeah, and then I just stopped off at places like Santa Barbara, incredible little like surfer town.
Yeah.
Then LA, then I finished in San Diego, which is...
Damn.
Oh, my God.
What a trip.
Yeah, honestly, mate, it was incredible.
Unreal. So the question is, I have to ask, did the American women love you because you're British?
I mean, I think it's definitely favourable to be British in the US, because they do really find the English accent interesting.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a privilege to have a foreign accent in general, I think.
Yeah.
Because people are just intrigued.
Yeah.
I think in California, because there's a lot of tourism, it's probably not as much as the US, I can imagine.
Yeah.
But it's still like people are really intrigued. They're like, oh my God, no way.
Yeah. Exactly. That's what I thought.
Like, you're
great American accent.
From London? Yeah. But I tell you what, the main thing I took away from the trip, I feel like the US is kind of painted in the UK media in a slightly like tainted light. Like, because there's, you see a lot of stuff about like really extreme stuff, like Trump, da da da.
Yeah.
And I went there sort of not expecting like lots. And I went there and I found everyone to be like a mate, like super. I think the Americans do it so well. They're so much more direct with their communication.
Okay.
They're super friendly.
Interesting.
They're just like lovely people. And I just, it took me a little bit off guard. I was like, this is amazing. Like, I love it out here.
Yeah. Okay. Fair. I guess we all kind of come in with expectations of like, obviously we see on the media and you kind of like, I think Americans and the English always have this competition, I guess, like Americans are dumb and the English are like villains.
Well, not.
No, but I'm saying like that's what it's always like in movies. It's always that kind of.
I think it's just like a lot of the stuff we see in the media. It's quite like, I don't know. It's not necessarily like you wouldn't see it painted in a pro American light, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of the stuff you might have seen in the past, you might have been like, wow, it's quite extreme in America, their views, stuff like that. But it's not at all. Like, they're the most normal, down-to-earth people, lovely. And like I was saying, the main thing I really like is they're super direct with their communication. In the UK, we're very like, keep ourselves to ourselves.
Yeah.
We're quite
cold.
Yeah, very cold, especially in London.
Yeah.
So I really, really like that. And also, just in general, everything's designed for the consumer. So like everything you want in every scenario is just there. And I just think I think it's better than the UK. I think California, I haven't experienced the whole of the US.
No way.
I actually think California does it better than the UK.
Whoa, what a statement.
Yeah, legit.
Okay, I wasn't expecting that. Okay, so if you had the opportunity to live in California, would you?
I would strongly consider it, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
So let's say your office goes, look, we're moving the office to California. We need a team to head it up there. Like, we need you part of there. Would you
I'd strongly consider it, yeah. I mean, obviously, it's like starting again, isn't it? But
podcast in America sounds delightful.
Yeah, I mean, it is so, so nice out there as well. Because like, just the weather makes such an impact to how you feel. Because you get the really hot weather coming in from the US and it's the Pacific,
yeah.
It's just permanently blue skies. There wasn't a cloud in sight the whole time I was there.
That's insane.
Beautiful weather.
But that's the thing.
Everyone's just up on life. People everywhere.
I must admit, like, the one thing I will say, and I've heard a lot of Americans who've come to the UK a lot say the same thing. Like, if London was as beautiful, like, in terms of the weather, if it was as hot and sunny and blue skies as America would be, most people would move to London because the way of life here is better.
Yeah,
You're saying...
But I really like how Americans hold themselves.
Interesting. I'm excited because I've only been to New York, so I can't really judge.
You need to go to California.
Yeah, I need to go to LA.
And you know what? LA, it's one of those places that everyone hypes up, like, oh my God, LA. Like, it's like a cool place to go. Right?
Yeah.
I thought it was good, but it was nowhere near the best place in California.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's a bit overhyped.
To be fair, a lot of people say that LA is very, just, it's a bit too much. It's very like, a lot of socialites. It's very much who you are. No one really cares much about them apart from your followers. Like, a lot of Americans who've come to London have told me, like, yeah, LA's it's very like trying to be celeb life.
It's got like a hint of London in that it's got that sort of like scene where it's, like you say, quite socialite.
Yeah.
It's got that element to it. And it's also highly, highly touristy. So I guess similar to London as well.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it is slightly overhyped. Like, some areas, like, it was still amazing, an amazing experience, but I wouldn't go back in a rush. I would, however, my favorite place by a mile was San Diego. It's unbelievable.
Really?
So
why?
So
what good. Was San Diego so
it's
good?
It's really big fitness and wellness scene. Okay. It's like the biggest fitness hub in the US, apparently.
Oh.
Everyone's just like lovely, super down to earth. They don't have like this, you know, like, no one's not saying people are up themselves, but do you know what I mean? Like, it's
everyone. The energy's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just beautiful. Everyone's beautiful there.
Well, you know what? If we can get a...
I'm really selling this.
No, I was going to say, if we could get a holiday campaign for Playtime, because you've sold LA, California.
Yeah, I did this, like, B beach yoga once. It was like on this cliff yeah. face on this.
I saw it.
So like, I walked past it one day, and the first day I got there, I was like, I don't usually do yoga, but this looks unreal.
Yeah.
Just met up with everyone in the morning. Like, you meet loads of people. I went to a few run clubs while I was there.
The run clubs cracked me up. Me and Laurie were talking about it. There's a video of you, like, everyone's like finished the run, and it's like you filming everyone walking past, and you put this American accent. And you go, all right, yeah, good job.
Yeah, everyone...
In my head, I was like, is he taking the piss out of them, or is he just...
No, I'm just getting in the spirit, mate. Just getting the spirit.
It cracked me up. Well, mate, what a trip. I mean, it sounds like you've had, like, you know, just the best time.
It was incredible. But now back to the UK. I've been back for about 3 weeks now and just getting back to it, really.
Yeah, getting back to it, the routine, which is important.
But we should go. We should definitely...
Hey, I want to plan a trip. I think, you know, Playtime Productions, we need to get out there.
It would be a great place to take Playtime Productions. Just given the type of people that are around in that area.
100%. And the sort of guests we could get from America would be quite cool.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm up for it. Let's take Playtime to America. Laurie, talk to us, brother.
Yeah, I wanted to interject quickly. You just said at the end of that, Miles, you said, it sounds like you've literally had the best time. And I think even in your update, it sounded like life has just been amazing, pristine. You're living it, and I know in actuality that's not true. There's been quite a lot of stressful days, and so I wanted you to give a bit of realness, because I feel like influencers are quite often painted as these people that just literally say, this is the best, my life is amazing, and I know for you specifically, and I'm sure for Charlie as well, that there have been tough days. So if you could talk to me a little bit about how you've been feeling recently, honestly, that would be great.
You know, wow. This is why we have Laurie on the channel. You went deep. You know what? It's interesting you just said that about influencers showing like the high life. And I guess before I kind of explain what I've been going through in my stresses, the reason why I think influencers do show the high life is because they kind of want to project, like, you know, there's two ways they see it. It's like, oh, I want to show you like the potential that you could have in your own life, like trying to be successful, working hard, all that kind of stuff. But then there's another side of things where you're hiding a lot of things. You know, you've got this big smile on your face and you're like doing these brand deals and it looks like your life is perfect and you're, you know, doing these big jobs. It's, oh my God, I wish I had their life. And it gets mistaken a lot, you know, that being an influencer, or I hate saying the word influencer, but I guess working in the creative section.
Creators
or public eye, whatever you want to call it, you know, it seems like it's this perfect, you know, seamless lifestyle that you have. And don't get me wrong, it definitely has its perks. But no, it's it can get really overwhelming. And to kind of answer your question, Laurie, like the other day, like I locked myself in my bathroom and like, This sounds crazy. And I blocked my ears, right? This was like 3 days ago. Basically, this is what happened. We had two client problems with Playtime Productions. And we were trying to figure out things. And we were all talking to each other. I was talking to the client, going back and forth, what's going on? There's clips. Things were just going wrong, right? Any business, it always happens. Whilst I was doing that, I didn't look at the time, but I had a casting call I'm not going to go into it, but there's, you know, obviously in my industry, there's a lot of casting calls you do for new shows, whatever. And I was about to miss it. So I had to message them saying, no, I can't do this. And whilst I was doing that, my new puppy, obviously I've got a new puppy, which is, you know, on Instagram looks adorable and everything, but he's a puppy and his baby. So he barks a lot when he hasn't got attention and when he wants things. He was barking at me. He was biting me. And then I had also my manager message me about this, campaign that hadn't been filmed properly, and we had to go back because the client wanted something. I got to a point where I didn't have a panic attack, right? But it got so much for me. I couldn't breathe, and I was doing this, and I was like, I can't do this. And my dog was biting me quite hard, and I was like, it's really weird, but I was like, I wanted him to bite harder because I was like, I need to feel pain right now, and like I don't know what to do. So I went upstairs, went in my bathroom, closed the door, and just like blocked my ears and just like had a deep breath, and then went outside. My dog had gone downstairs, and I sat on the floor for like 20 minutes, and I was just there, like phone was away, and I was just been like, oh, what am I doing? You know, it was a moment of like, can I handle this? Can I do all this? You know, can I show up for work? Can I show up for myself? And I had an internal conversation, just being like quite hard on myself, kind of like, you know, you have this, you know, you've got this, you know, that the stresses right now are going to pass. You know what to do to manage everything. You know who to message first to make sure that gets dealt with. Take a big breath. You're not going to hide yourself in your room and believe it's all going to go away. Go back downstairs to your desk and sort it all out. So I had that internal conversation with myself, went back down, sorted all the client stuff, moved the meeting, the casting call to the next day. Absolutely fine. No issues. Calmed my dog with a treat, all these sort of things. And it just kind of like everything went down. And to kind of tell you why I'm explaining that day is because that day happens quite often. And I don't think a lot of people realize that. As much as I show so much of like the good life, right? You know, I'm going to this event, I'm going there, I'm doing all these things, I'm ice skating, all that. Like, especially with the last 2 months, like I've been stressed out of my ass. Like everything has been heightened. And the biggest thing is loneliness. Feeling like, and I watched this podcast with Chris Williamson, and he says, you kind of start separating yourself from certain social groups and certain things that you're doing. Your lifestyle starts changing, and that's whether it's dependent on maybe because you're not drinking much, or your work is different, or you're, you know, building a career, or you're building a business and all that kind of stuff. And he says, you know, you stop hanging out with them and they kind of go, oh, you're boring, why you're not going out drinking, all that kind of stuff. And then, but you still haven't yet found the new social group who is in your kind of wavelength. So you're kind of in this middle. And that's exactly how I feel recently. I felt very much like I'm in this middle ground where I don't know where I'm at right now. Mm. And I think I'm happy about it because it means that I'm kind of growing up, I guess, in my own way. And I've also value things a lot more in different ways. My thought process on things have changed. I guess I'm maturing a lot more. But to kind of, you know, I got a long-winded answer, sorry, because it was a deep question. It's not as easy as what the public perceives it is. It is, you have really stressful days. And just because my life is different to your, you know, 9 to 5, and I'm not saying you don't have stresses in your 9 to 5, but it needs to be known that just because you're an influencer or you're a public eye, it's not as easy as you think.
Yeah. I think also with having like more of a following, it definitely doesn't translate to because what I found since having more of a following online is I'm actually way less close to people, a larger group of people that I was before. Mm. And that's as a result of, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's people like partly in myself not having the time to prioritize certain friendships, or whether it's more on the other side of things of people judging you in a certain way so they're not as close to me. I don't know. But I would say I feel more isolated than I was before when I started all of this.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's so true.
Yeah. That's not like I feel sorry for me. That's just a genuine observation of
100%.
Like, I think it's quite a common thing to think, like you'll get loads of attention, and you do get very frugal attention for sure.
Yeah.
Like stuff that's fucking fake, to be honest.
Oh, very.
I can see it. Yeah, I can see that sort of stuff from a fucking mile off now, and I just like, I actually really hate doing that sort of stuff now.
Yeah.
And it's more like genuine friendships and people you speak to that you crave more, like when you get more on that side of things, because you can see
if
what it is. You can come out the other side. At the start, I was like, yeah, this is fucking great.
Yeah.
But now I'm a bit like, that's fucking fake.
Well, you also crave, like you just said there, you crave real conversations.
Mm. Yeah.
You know?
I was just going to say, quickly, Miles, you mentioned about like all the amazing experiences and events and stuff like that and that you go to, and you mentioned your biggest thing is loneliness.
Mm.
So I had a moment, what, like 2 weeks ago, I went to a concert. I had two tickets. The person I was supposed to go with couldn't come, and I was there on my own. I had a great time. Like, the concert was amazing. One of the best things I've actually been to see. And I had a moment where I was like really happy, but then I was driving back and I was really sad because I'm experiencing all these things, but on my own. And I know for you, obviously you had the relationship which didn't work out, and you kind of, I think you went into that feeling like, I'm ready for this.
Yeah.
And it turned out, for whatever reason, that wasn't the case. So on that loneliness piece paired with the relationship breakdown and going to all these amazing things, but maybe experiencing it on your own or not with that other significant person, how hard has that been?
Yeah, damn. Laurie, damn. He's good, isn't he?
He's good.
You're good, mate. The questions. yeah, we've spoken about this, you know. I used to fear being lonely. My mom used to say, and my sister used to say, you always had to have friends over, always had sleepovers, friends, and always had to be surrounded by people. And then when 2 years ago, when I decided to move on my own and I discovered loneliness, and I put it that in a positive way of like actually being with yourself and loving yourself and loving your space. Oh man, when you get there, it's a beautiful bliss, you know, thing. And it's really something that I, you know, push a lot of people to do. You know, like you said, you travel alone for a whole month, you know, you're going to a concert on your own and you're doing these things. Like, it's really, really amazing things to you learn a lot about yourself. You learn to be in calmness, but they get to a stage. And this actually brings me, your question brings me to what I wanted to talk about today, because it really, really ties in exactly with what I'm going to ask you and both of you actually. But to kind of answer as well, like, you know, there is a place where when you're doing all these amazing things and you're experiencing all these fun things, you kind of do go, oh, I would like to share this with someone, you know? You know, I think the joys of life is you get to a stage in your life where you go, oh, you know, I want to bring, you know, my future girlfriend to this event, or I want to take her away to this amazing holiday, and I want to treat her in this way. I want to do these things and share, I guess, starting a life with someone essentially. Because when you do, I've stopped doing loads of events because it's, you know, I guess boring. And like you were going back to what you said, like you kind of play a character.
Well, I it's more, I think, like now I just see those events as people that are just like, the majority of people there are there for like clout.
Or they're trying to get somewhere.
Yeah, and they're, it's trying just to climb, like, a ladder. I think it's quite a toxic environment. I know a lot of people mean well.
A lot of people mean well.
No, do you know what I mean? Like, it's not, I'm not like, that's quite, sounds like quite a judgy thing to say, but I just find a lot of those sort of events like very sort of like, I don't know, am I gaining much from being there other than being with a load of other people that are like, have got a social media following?
Yeah.
Am I having like a genuine conversation with anyone? Not really.
Yeah.
Am I like doing it for like, do you know what I mean? Like going on a fucking red carpet, having a, having a photo.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Do I really want to do that? Do I want to do that?
Yeah.
Like I feel like I was definitely into that. Like
when you first,
like,
came,
I don't know, like a, however long, like 6 months, a year ago, like it's almost like, it's like validation. People going there to like get validated in some way or another.
Yeah.
And I'm just like so over that sort of stuff.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, it's a very interesting industry because it's one of those things where it can be tiresome to do those sort of things, right? And you're like, I can't be asked to be fake and I can't be asked to not have real conversations with people. But also you have to understand for your branding, I guess, it's important for you to show up to these events.
There's
two sides to it. It's like, okay, and you have to kind of manage it. And like over the years, I've kind of found my sweet spot of like, I'll go to things that I think I'll enjoy. Like premieres I love, because also I love the movie. Like when we went Bullet Train, I was sick because it was a sick movie. But then there are loads of events I'm just like, oh, I don't think, like me and Temps went to an event before he went away to Sydney, and it was this dinner and it was just full of TikTokers, Instagrammers, all these things. And no one was enjoying themselves. It was just like, who could one up each other? Who is the most following? Who's got, you know? And I got up and left. I was like, I can't do this, mate. I really can't be around these people. And we're having really, you know, surface levels conversations. Like, this is really, really shit. You know, that stuff I don't like. But, you know, again, there's a balance.
Yeah, I mean, I can see, obviously you've got to do it in the context of like, personal brand stuff like that, if you're someone who's in the limelight, whatever. But Yeah. It's a weird game or weird scene, I think.
Yeah.
And you don't really realize it until you've like been through the process.
Yeah, 100%. I want to, so going from what the kind of Laurie asked there with like sharing something with someone and like, you know, feeling lonely, you know, in certain stages of your life when you're like doing so much, even though you're maybe perceived being around a lot of people, you actually don't feel like, you know, sharing that with someone. I had a question. And
please go ahead, Miles.
Yeah, and the answer could be literally, it doesn't have to be necessarily dating, doesn't have to be necessarily one way or the other. Like, it was just something that I saw and I picked up on and I was like, really interesting, and to kind of maybe go into, dissect a little bit. So it's three questions, but you kind of answer in one. So why do men find it hard to understand women? And why do women find it hard to understand men when realistically, we're all trying to find the same thing. So why are we all playing the same games for the same outcome? So, and what I mean by that is, I'm going to take it into the dating perspective, you know, and we've spoken about this, you know, you kind of like the game, you like the chase, you like the little kind of thing because it excites you. But it gets to a point where I've realized what is the end goal? What is the end goal of doing that? Because at the end of the day, what I think is, when girls are trying to play that game, the guys trying to play that game, well, the end result is that they both want to date each other. They want the same outcome, but yet we make it so difficult.
Well, I guess in the dating context, it's just misaligned in terms of what people want immediately. So, for example, there'll be someone who has, you know, they might be just dating casually. They want to sort of like play the field. And then they're matched up with someone who doesn't want that, who wants to find a relationship. And that's where there's a clash.
Yeah.
But when you find two people that are on the same wavelength, it will naturally go that way, I think.
But do you think it's hard at the moment to find someone who's naturally on your same wavelength? Because I feel like even when I've possibly found someone who is matching my energy and matching that same, there's always something that sparks some sort of like...
Yeah, so yeah. This is actually really interesting. I think we were going to talk about this on another episode, but I was basically listening to this is another Stephen Bartlett reference, shock. We'll put the name of the podcast in the show notes or whatever.
Show notes, a description.
that's what they call it, right?
Show notes? I've never heard that one before.
Yeah.
Have you heard show notes?
I have.
Oh, really? Is that a thing? That damn, was, yeah, show notes.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm not up to speed.
Yeah, you should be. Should
be. Sorry, carry on, yeah.
And it's a podcast with this relationship or psychologist, like relationship expert slash psychologist who she's written a book on types of people that date and she categorizes them. And she was like, Stephen Bartlett was saying he fits into the category, which is avoidant attachment. Attachment avoidant, sorry.
Okay.
And he's also like in the same breath, he's a what they call a maximizer. So what that means is because of previous relationship trauma or a bad breakup or something that's happened in the past, he is therefore someone who is, when someone gets close to him, he struggles to welcome the attachment and he might push them away.
Okay.
And he's got that twinned with the fact that he's got a maximizer mindset. So he's always thinking the grass is greener. So because you've got someone who's pushing away stuff that might come close to them and always thinking they might find the next one, those type of people struggle to settle down with people. And I was like, I could see myself kind of fitting into that bracket. And I like, do you think you kind of fit the same?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, as you were saying it, I mean, I was like, yeah, that's...
Like, it's a very... Yeah. Like, I can relate to that in the sense of like, I'm probably avoidant attachment to some extent based off like being in a last relationship, it not working out, like being heartbroken, all that type of stuff. And therefore, I'm more reluctant to properly open up.
Yeah.
And then I'm 100% someone who's like a maximizer. I'm always like, better, blah, blah, blah.
I've got the maximizer, but I don't have the first one. I think I'm, you know, I'm a sucker for love. I'm someone who, if someone does get close, I really accept it.
Okay.
My issue though is with the, I guess the maximizer idea is I hyper... analyze a person by going, but she hasn't got all the qualities that I think I'm looking for. And I then hone in on that so much that I'm looking for this perfect woman that doesn't really exist, instead of loving those amazing qualities that she already brings to the table and understanding that you're not going to have everything in a relationship and in a partner. And I always think, okay, because they're not, maybe they're missing a few things, I'll go, oh, well, I was texting this other girl and she's showing me all the other things.
Mm.
But then she might not have the other things that the other girl
Yeah, that's like the maximizer. So, Laurie, it'd be really interesting. Would you be able to potentially search up the different types, like maybe type in, I don't know what it is, but type in like avoidant attachment and like other things that sit within that.
Yeah. Because
then we can work out what you are.
Yeah.
Well. I don't know if I am necessarily fully in that, but I can see traits.
Yeah, 100%. But do you think...
But so, you're definitely in the maximizer mindset as well.
Yeah. But I'll be honest, like I think the reason why I'm in the maximizer seat, I guess, is because, and this is going back to what we were saying before about, you know, this generation and the technology around us, like it's endless. And also our position in our careers as well, having a following, having a lot of attention in that way, and the also the wrong attention, you know, because it's the attention of like, oh, I saw you in that, I like you, rather than, oh, I like you for you, right? And I think there's a mistrust there as well. So there's a part of it that's going, the grass is greener, but also I don't really trust everyone that I meet.
Mm.
So there's a whole, it's very complex. And it makes me sad to feel that I think that. And,
yeah.
And it makes me annoyed.
They did talk about this, you know. They spoke about how there's a type that's like with the trust aspect.
Yeah.
And that's probably what's going on with you.
I think 100%.
Yeah.
You know, there's every time I start dating, I always kind of, there's always questions that I kind of put in that they probably don't see. But well, I'm not going to say it here, but like there's always a few
well,
things.
Well, so you might like leave like a, I don't know, a pack of bagels by the side. But like, did you move those earlier? And if they're slightly moved, it's like, she's fucking lying.
Yeah, gold digger. No. It's like, when I'm getting to know someone, I have to pose the questions of like, you know, dating me, and in a non-arrogant way, dating me is not necessarily that normal.
Yeah.
You know, and like my ex struggled with, you know, the attention, the comments, the, you know, the articles and... It, you know, when you meet someone, you're like, okay, is that what you're looking for? Or is that, you know, is it me you're looking for? You know, and that's hard. And then you add that with the maximizer, and then you're just like, oh God, I'm in this endless circle where I'm never really happy. So I'll tell you right now, I don't know what the answer is.
Well, we're going to get...
So I've got the four, apparently there's four love and attachment styles. So there's secure,
yeah,
which is positive, stable view of self, positive, stable view of others, and a whole host of other stuff. There's anxious or the pursuer. So negative and insecure view of self, positive, stable view of others. That's really interesting, actually.
Oh, positive.
There's the avoidant or withdrawer. So someone negative, insecure view of others, independent and self-reliant, fearful of intimacy. And
oh,
then
that's you.
there's the fearful or disorganized type, which is negative, insecure view of self, negative, insecure view of others, and seeks and avoids closeness.
I think you're not completely, but I think you're kind of in the last category.
Sorry, what? So super insecure.
No.
So, the last category, he goes super insecure, insecure about other people, doesn't like other people.
No. Read it again. No. Aspects, not the whole thing.
Okay, tell me what aspects.
I think you're referring to the last point I mentioned, which is seeks and avoids closeness.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, I think my issue is, God, we're getting deep. Okay, my issue is, right, I'll meet someone so fantastic. Like honestly, I go, oh my God, I spend, oh God.
Because, no, wait, just read that out one more time. Because the bit about being negative about someone else isn't like, oh, ever, it's more in the sense that it plays into what we were saying about, you know, always thinking there might be something better.
Yeah.
That's what that means. I don't think it's like, oh, you're fucking negative about people. I think it's more in that context. So both the... Can you just read it out again, Laurie?
Which one are all four?
Do the last one.
Last one, which is fearful or disorganized. So it says negative, insecure view of self, negative, insecure view of others, seeks and avoids closeness, says longs for love and rejects intimacy, struggles with scorekeeping. So, mate, I did this, you did that, blah, 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 blah.
No, that's not me.
Fluctuates between expressive and supportive and then distant and unavailable. I'm not going to lie. I'm looking at this and I think I would take pieces from all four for myself.
Yeah, yeah, so, yeah.
I don't know, yeah, I think it's quite
it's
nuanced,
a mix.
Isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it's...
No, as in that sounded like I was being really
negative. No, but I see
but what... But I, yeah, like... Yeah. Sorry, you carry on.
So I'm heartless. I seek love, but I don't want intimacy.
It's more the...
I think I'm in this endless vicious circle. And I know it because I've realized it from myself that I really hope that I can get out of it. Like, I, Laurie, for example, right? Today, I told you that I was, you know, talking to someone and I showed you a picture.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you were like, oh my God, like, wow, all this. And we're just chatting like, yeah. And, you know, gonna, you know, whatever. I'm not going to divulge too much. And even then I'm like, thinking, am I sure? Is this like what I want? Yeah, is this not what I... And I'm second guessing myself on loads of different things. And I'm thinking, oh, but does she have all these qualities again?
Yeah.
And then I'm picturing, honestly, as I'm saying this, I'm picturing what I think the ideal girl is for me, right? And it's like, I keep saying to myself, oh, don't worry, I will find that ideal girl.
But the thing is, it's like this unicorn that doesn't exist, mate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Keep looking for horses with horns on their faces and I can't find them.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I was going to say. I was going to say like a relationship or a partner or whatever, it's ultimately the pursuit of happiness, right? But I think that now happiness has kind of been changed or reformed into perfection and we're actually searching for perfection.
Yeah.
And actuality, happiness, there are bad days that come with happiness, you know what I mean? So I think it's just a case of that you have to accept that this person's going to have their flaws and that come together with your benefits and those two things match
up. But that's the thing. I don't think it's about flaws, right? Because I think I could love someone's flaws. Like when I've been, you know, dating in the past and there's things that are like small flaws, I kind of almost find it very, really endearing.
Mm.
My thing is not about flaws. It's more about what I perceive as perfection. So it's like qualities. Like I'm thinking, okay, I want my girlfriend to train, to be athletic, to love being quite girly girl kind of vibes. I want a girl who hasn't, you know, like there's like this weird list that is in hindsight so stupid. Like when I list, I'm not gonna list it out now because it'll make me look crazy, but if I list the list in my head, I'm like, what are you doing, man?
Yeah.
I feel like Chandler in Friends. I don't know if you've ever seen this. Chandler, there's a season, and this is why I reflect myself in, you know, Friends. There's a season where Chandler talks about this and says, I look at every girl's fault, and that is why I can't continue to date them. I think, oh, and his is very like, they make it very much on a visual aspect. So it's like very thickle of like, oh, she's got big ears, I don't like that, so I'm not gonna date you and all that. But I'm saying that in the same sense of like, I hyper analyze everything.
Yeah, but I think my main takeaway from this whole thing, right, is regardless of what attachment style you are, like the bit about the maximizer, I think is really interesting because it made me a lot more aware that maybe there's people I've been dating in the past where I've been like, I've been really enjoying it, but I've just kind of cut it because I'm like, got that mindset.
Yeah.
And it's quite a good thing to be aware of, I think.
But you're aware of it, right? But what are you going to do to change it?
Well, being more self-aware and being like, maybe next time I meet someone that I'm like enjoying stuff with, pursue it a bit further. Don't just be like...
Do you think... Okay, so you said pursue a bit further. I think the mistake that we do, and maybe this is just for me, but I'm just going to like assume this for you as well, is we'll like someone. We don't cut off our social media messages. We don't cut off our dating apps. Like we continuously, whilst we're talking to someone, going, oh, I'm going to swipe on Reyes still.
Yeah, I think you should still...
But why? Because if you're having a good time with someone and you really enjoy their company and you've just said, oh, I'm going to put more effort into it, so you putting more effort into it is actually cutting ties with messaging other people, because it's essentially being like, okay, well, if I actually want to see this works, I shouldn't be distracted by other profiles.
Yeah, no, I get that, but at what stage?
at the stage where you feel like, you know what, I actually really like this person.
Yeah, but like that can be, that's such a subjective answer, because you might feel like that.
Okay,
after...
at the stage what you were just explaining, like you've dated girls before and you've really enjoyed that.
Oh yeah,
time,
yeah, yeah.
That at that stage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I agree. Yeah, yeah.
That's when sure. we you know, that's what I've realized.
Yeah, no, yeah, for sure.
It's
for
like
sure.
It's this weird thing that like you wanna. I don't know if it's like a validation thing or if it's like I don't know what we're searching for, because, and it goes back to the question I was asking. We're all searching for this one thing, which is, I mean, this is what I think I'm searching as a man, is like, I want to find the love of my life. I want to hopefully have a family and, you know, grow old with someone. Like, yeah, I'm a little bit traditional in that sense. And I love that kind of thought about life.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I feel like that's what, you know, the women I'm dating want as well, but we're clashing with our own personal issues.
I actually disagree with what you're saying there, Miles, because I think it's like a nice thought to think that's what you're actively looking for right now.
Yeah.
But I feel like you're like lacking, as with me, it's like lacking like the direction in terms of like, actively, when you're dating someone now, are you dating in that capacity?
Yeah, of course. No, I completely agree.
Like, do you know what I mean? It's almost like wanting that as like the bigger picture goal further down the line. But are you really dating someone in that capacity right now? Or are you just like sort of more just, oh, it'll come?
Yeah.
Like, as in it's very like, maybe that's also what I fall into. I'm very much like, oh, whatever, like blasé. Mm. But if you, maybe you need more direction with it.
Oh, Laurie's, what are you going to say?
What are you going to say, Laurie?
I don't know, because I actually agree with what you're saying, because I think essentially what you're saying is you can't say you want to look like Charlie Radnedge and go to the gym once a week and eat McDonald's every single day. But I don't know if finding the love of your life is the same as carving out a body. I think it is a little bit about you have to see what happens and you have to go to this place and there's a chance that you meet that person. It's not the same as, oh, so if I go to this place at this time 5 times a week and if I do that, then I'm going to meet the love of my life. I don't know if it works like that. It's a little bit about chance. It's not as calculated.
Yeah. But yeah, you know what? To go off the back of that, yeah, 100%. It isn't about just kind of like mapping out your life perfectly and then you'll find the one. But I do believe in the slight changes in your lifestyle will bring you closer 100%. To someone who is fitting in your life.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. But I like someone said that to me, like you're like essentially made the same comment to me. They're like, oh, like maybe you're like lacking direction in terms of like what you're saying and what you're doing.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I thought it was quite a insightful comment.
Well, I completely agree. I completely agree.
So yeah.
Yeah.
Won't be a good one to air.
No, right. You're 100% right. And I agree, actually. One thing you said, Miles, which I think is a blessing and a curse, is about you mentioned like this really long list.
Yeah.
And I think I'm the same as you in terms of that I have a huge list of things that I want from the ideal perfect girl.
Yeah.
Which is great and bad, because when you find that person, head over heels, gone.
Yeah.
And I think that you experienced that a little bit as well. But also, when that list isn't hit, see you later, goodbye, mate, honestly.
Like, it's one extreme to the other, right? It's true, we're actually quite similar in that sense. And I kind of laugh because when you tell me and you're like, oh my gosh, and I always tell you, bro, just like, come on, relax. But then I can't give myself that advice because, you know, I don't want to go back to Canada Girl, but take Canada Girl as an example.
Here we go again.
Here we go. Guys, strap in.
Guys, get ready.
Get ready. It's going to be a sad one. Get the tissues. No, but I take that as an example because look at the extreme of that. I went to Canada because I fell in love with someone that I'd never met, right? Because in my head, she ticked everything on the list. And in real life, she actually didn't tick everything on my list, because otherwise, why aren't we together, right?
Mm.
If she was on my list of like what is perfect and what is ideal in my life and what I want, then we would be together today. And it isn't that. So it's that balance of like, okay, figuring out if your list is too long and if actually what is on your list is what you really, really want.
Mm.
And then that's that battle of like, okay, well, I need to date more. Okay, but then you date more and then you're kind of like what you're saying, the sense of direction, like, what are you dating for? You're just kind of dating, kind of like, oh, yeah, if it comes, it comes. But then are you actually going in with intent of going, actually, I want this. I want, if I meet someone special, I'm going to work at it and make it, and actually maybe open up to the fact it could be
Yeah, for sure.
Serious.
And I also think it's completely fine not to have the intent to be wanting to find someone as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But being more clear in your own mind about where you're going, I think is probably quite a helpful thing to do.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah, of course.
We're no experts. What we're going to do is we're going to get... Yeah. Miles has asked Paul.
Paul Bronson is coming on.
Which will be really, really exciting because Miles and I have been chatting for a while. We thought it'd be quite interesting to be sort of like analysed by someone in that field.
Yeah.
We were talking about it literally from season one.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's the perfect guy to get on. Yeah, so I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, I think that's going to be really interesting. Just kind of like... almost dissect us a little bit of like what our attitudes, our personalities, and what we're doing wrong, what we're doing right.
It'll definitely be a bit of a follow-on from
warn
this.
Warn you, by the way, because I'm obviously met Paul on Serve Good Dating.
Yeah.
Hey,
he'd be like, you're fucking insecure, bro.
Yeah, no, but like, I'm not gonna lie, like he's no joke. It's not TV stuff. Like the way he feels about you and what he thinks and what he kind of like. You know, analyzes and he will say,
"Yeah, I welcome it, mate. Legit, like I'm actually very intrigued."
Yeah, so we're gonna have him on soon, so that'll be exciting.
Another thing, actually, maybe we'll delve into another episode, but I'm basically reading this book at the moment. It's called, I don't know the name of it. Anyway,
great book. Great book, right?
It splits people into personality types.
Yeah.
Like there's like red, yellow, green, and blue.
Okay.
And I'll do a bit more research so I can be more prepped for it.
Yeah.
For another podcast. But this is also sort of plays into this. It gives a different personality type. And I was listening to one of them and I was like, that is Miles. I was into one. I was like, that is Laurie. I am, yeah.
So what colours are we? Without telling us the definition.
So I think you're yellow. Okay. I think you're green. I think I'm red.
Oh, don't tell us why. We'll go into another episode because I'm intrigued.
Yeah, but basically,
how is Laurie going to do this? He's colorblind.
Sorry,
Laurie's colorblind.
Yeah, that is the issue.
I'm joking.
but the main thing about this book is it's like trying to make you understand that everyone works very differently, and you need to
accept other people's differences.
Yeah, and almost it's more like in a working context, and I thought it was really helpful in the capacity of like Playtime Productions, because we are all wired very different in how we communicate and how like certain people are very results driven. They're very to the point. They don't want to waste their time unless it's achieving that thing.
Yeah,
other people are more like bigger concepts, want to really talk it out, want to like be more creative. Other people are very much like analytical or wanting to assist other people to achieve their goal.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's really interesting in the context of like a working relationship.
Yeah.
So it makes you work better with people.
Yeah, 100%. No, that's so true. I'm excited just
because you'll be like, oh, you're like a yellow. I need to be more understanding of like, you want to talk this out.
Oh, I really want to know what yellow means. But like,
we'll do it in the next episode.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think we're going to end it there because it's been a fantastic first episode back.
It has,
I must admit. I hope you guys are enjoying kind of like the change of tune a little bit. I know we're still talking about kind of similar things that we were talking in our previous episodes, but, you know, I think we're just a bit more, I guess, you know what I will say? I think we're kind of coming into an approach of like being a bit more deep about it and being less flippant about dating and what we're kind of explaining and our attitudes towards it. So hopefully you guys can relate and you guys enjoy this. Let us know if there's anything more you want us to talk about. If there's a question that you're asking yourself, and we can, you know, answer it on here, please like comment below, on the YouTube and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But,
we just want to be a bit more sort of, I guess it plays into what we're talking about at the start of the podcast, where we don't want to just talk about, like, I know at the start of the podcast, we were like, oh, I went to the US, I've been dancing nice. We want to be a bit more like real about like what we get up to outside of that as well. So it's a bit more like relatable to you guys, because it is like, it's not just the highlight. This is fucking great.
Well, that's why I think Laurie's great addition, because he
brings us down to the real world.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, I think we're very easily, you know what I'll say, we're very easily media trained. Like we can't, I mean, I say that last series was questionable, but in a sense of like, we can easily put a facade up. right? Yeah. And without even knowingly we're doing it, because it's like, okay, cameras, let's action. So I think it's nice to have you, Laurie, kind of break that. Even the first question, I was like, okay.
Yeah, I think Laurie's a lovely addition. So yeah. Welcome.
Thanks, brother. Welcome.
And yeah, just to finish as well, obviously, we are in our new lovely studio at Playtime Productions. This is just one of the little setups we have at the moment. We're going to have a Playtime neon sign coming. It's supposed to be coming this weekend, but
it got delayed.
We're super excited to be here. And if you do have any sort of questions about Playtime Productions, or you're interested in doing a podcast, please get in touch. We'd love to have a conversation with you, no matter how big or small your idea is. And yeah, we'll just go from there, really.
Yeah, yeah. We're really proud of Playtime Productions, and we've got some amazing clients on board. You know, we're all about helping people kind of put their foot in the podcast world, because we know how difficult, how expensive it all is. And we ourselves have gone through it. So essentially, we're kind of helping you in that way. But yeah, 100%. Please check out the website for more details. Email us at info@playtime-productions.com for any inquiries, for any questions. And then we will get back to you very, very soon on that. But guys, to end it here, what an amazing conversation between all three of us. I really, really hope you enjoyed the new series, the new episode. Make sure you subscribe, you follow us on all socials. We're going to be really, you know, up in the social game here. So we're going to do little challenges, games, all that kind of stuff. And make sure you tune in, because when I say the next guest list coming in is epic.
Yeah, we've definitely outdone ourselves with the guests on this season.
Yeah.
It's a lot more thought out. Before, we were kind of like flippantly turning up and just freestyling it, weren't we?
We used to go, Laurie, what should we talk about today?
Yeah.
So we've got more.
I guess we are kind of still doing that, because that's the nature of like what we talk about, is quite like free flowing conversation.
There's a bit more structure.
But it's a bit more structure, a bit more planned out, the whole series, now that we're like, we're getting serious.
Yeah.
So it's good to be back, and see you guys next week.
Yeah, we love you. See you later.
Bye.